This is professional radio, gentlemen.
That would and be it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now we do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin, dude.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night here on 98.9 Northwest FM. It's me, Matty J, online with David Prince, Mr. Scotty Doe Johnson, Mr. Rob Zadai, and in studio with Mr. Alam Deep Singh. How are you guys going? I'm going to try and change the camera around so we can actually see Alam, because he does exist.
There we go. There he is.
What's happening, gentlemen?
All good, he thinks.
Good to hear.
All well.
Big weekend of car-related shenanigans for all of us on the show. Let's crack on with some car updates and we'll get into that. Rob, you were at MotorX on the weekend.
Well, I didn't make it.
I didn't make it. Okay.
No, I was so caught up in getting this SR replica on the road.
The laser one.
The laser one. I didn't go.
Did you? Have you guys seen the photos? I don't know if you sent them to you guys. It looks awesome.
No, I didn't send it to everyone, but yeah, basically it's come up real well. The side skirt on the right hand side, when I got it off the guys, they actually ripped it off the brackets and broke most of it.
Yeah.
I've done a good repair, but the epoxy broke, and when we went to put it back on, it cracked a little bit. So I put it just a bit of sort of a white sealant to just cover up the crack a little bit until we get another skirt or fix the skirt.
Yeah,
but the car came up real good. Look, it looks like a little replica SR, except for the driving lights, and we've just got some wheels for it. We're going to put an exhaust tip on it to make it look, sort of a little bit different. And
so, how's it feel, Matty, having such a special car that people are actually doing replicas of it now?
See, well, I'm a trendsetter. What can I say? The awkward thing is it looks a lot better than mine currently because the paint on my lasers is very hairy going on the roof. So I'm a wee bit jealous, but the pictures came up great. Like I'll show you guys on the thing while you talk about it. But yeah, so they cleared it in two packs, did they?
Two pack, yeah, yep. So it's done a two pack clear in a spray booth. So it was little dirt, a few little runs, which I've been able to sort of clean up and polish back. So it wasn't too bad overall for what it is. It's a great little car. It's come up pretty well. And I've buffed it even more since. So it's really come up well.
Nice.
It's a bit blurry, but yeah.
But
there it is. That's pretty good.
I really like the body kit you put, like you put the SR body kit on it, like the different front lip, you put a little exhaust tip on there. It's come up really, really well. You've got a very unique car because they didn't make any SRs or SR2s in white. So that is a very, very unique, vehicle, Mr. Rob.
Yeah. There was a couple of weeks, what was it? Maybe 3 weeks ago. It was some sort of a car show with a lot of Fords. So I think it might have been a Ford event in Geelong.
Okay.
Yeah, and
pretty much every weekend.
Yeah, almost every weekend. Yeah, but my son-in-law was so disappointed he didn't have his car ready for it. But so next year, he can go to all 4 day with you, Matty.
I'll make sure to bring my laser to that day, and I'll try and
park it side by side.
So park it side by side. Well, Rob, I have to come see you because I want to sand the top of the roof and just put a wrap on there until I paint it so it doesn't look any worse.
Go full right spec and do carbon fiber.
Ooh.
I still got some carbon fiber left over.
I reckon done properly, that would look pretty clean.
It'd look pretty cool, yeah.
It's going to be in patches because it's like
just it was just like a strip, just like that, square and then triangle.
Mosaic.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'll do a mosaic effect. But yeah, it is getting sprayed. It's getting sprayed as soon as it gets to 25 years. I'm going to take it off the road and get it ready for a club plate and beautify it again, because by then it would have hopefully close to 400,000 Ks, and then I can say, you know what, it's done.
Getting out, or is it me?
No, I think it's
Maddie.
Yeah, it's me. I was going to say, hopefully I can get it to about 400 to 500,000 Ks in the next like few years. I'd say probably more close to 400. So that way I can, you know, give it its due course in resting and get it all painted and make it, you know, bring it back to 300,000 Ks no driving it, give it some fresh paint. I have to redesign all the decals for it and stuff because they don't make them anymore and no one in their right mind would do what I'm about to do to their lasers because they don't really care. So I'm probably the only one here's the thing, right? Like I'm on the SP20 forums and stuff, which is the same car. There's reproduction stickers for those. There's everything reproduction floor match and people in Australia make them. But for the Ford, they're like, oh, it's a Ford. It's not as cool as the Mazda version. So like nobody did anything. And I am like, I have to do it myself. So it's so unfair. It's blatant racism to Ford in that instance. It's carism. And I'm going to have to, you know, take photos, measure it all up, recreate all the decals that, you know, the stuff so I can get it back to looking factory fresh and then I can drag race Emmett in his laser off.
We just need to get a turbo for it, I think.
Yeah.
A little turbo kit, that'd be good.
What color
is your carpet? Is it dark? Is it like a black or gray?
Mine's like a dark gray. Interior is all black, except for the headlining. That again was unique to SR2. So,
okay, because he's got the SR2 floor mat.
Has he got an SR2 floor mat?
The driver's side, it's immaculate.
Oh,
don't tell me that. No. You tempter, Rod.
You picked it up at the Wreckers the other day.
Rob, don't tell me that, mate. That's I'm gonna have to go there and say, hey, you know, I've got these old shaggy ones. You can have these.
I don't know. Speaking of doing the same thing, I'm gonna put my XR650 of anniversary floor mats back in my XR6 now. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm not driving it a lot, so I'm gonna put the picnic basket that I got with the car when I bought it and all the accessories.
So
the chair and bits and pieces.
So Rob, with that car, what accessories did you get? Because the 50th anniversary came with, I know that came with a picnic bag, didn't it? And it came with all the decals, 50th anniversary. What else? And a different interior.
So XR6 floor mats. Interior, I'm not sure what's different to a standard XR6. The seats it's got the embroidery on the seats with the 50th mm-hmm. anniversary. But apart from that, not too sure, not too certain, but I do have the general floor mat. It's got the picnic basket. I think it came with a chair as well. But that's about it. So I'll put it all back in and sort of drive it to the all 4 days.
Yeah.
I don't know how I've had it registered and not registered. I reckon I've had 3 roadworthies on that over the last 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Because I've taken it off. I put it on the road, taken off the road, because I keep on getting other cars and I can't afford the registration. I don't want to clock up the kilometers. If I have the registration, I'll end up driving it. It's got 44,000 on it now.
Well, and you put 44,000, and you quite literally put 40,000 Ks of that on in like 2 years and then you stopped driving it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, about 2 or 3 years and that was it. I stopped driving it. Oh, well, I drove it sort of occasionally here and there, you know, but it's a sort of car that will hold its value if the kilometers are kept fairly low.
Mm.
As soon as they start putting on 80,000, 90,000 kilometers, they start dropping in price dramatically.
Mm.
Well, yeah, so that's my cars.
That's your cars. Scotty Doe.
Me. Not too much in the way of cars. I guess a few bits and pieces. I know we'll do a segment after and probably talk about the weekend, or unless you want me to talk about it now, I can do that.
We were going to get to that, but you can mention it if you like.
Okay. No, we can get to that bit. I guess at the moment, obviously, I took the Blade. I got prime position because I got there a bit early at show. So I got a nice little posse. It was actually fantastic turnout. It gave the car a good scrub beforehand. And
amazing,
made a friend across the road.
Another Blade?
because at the same time I was cleaning it, he came around and said, oh, do you want to use a pressure washer and everything? So,
oh, cool.
And he's a bit of a car guy too. So he had tons of products. He's like, oh, try this one, have a look at this wheel cleaner. And yeah, so it was really good. I had a good chat while cleaning the cars at like 5 at night or something. It was. So it's really good. He's a good, good neighbor to meet. I bought a little, because every time I go to the show, whether it's Classic Japan or Sakura Picnic, always end up buying something, always a little model. Mm-hmm. This time I've got this one here, little Honda, City.
That's cool.
Police car form. And it's got the little Moto Compo there too in there. So grab that one.
Scotty bought that to sculpt to David. So David, how much are you willing to pay, mate?
There was only one there.
I didn't even see it. I must admit, I didn't look too closely at the. I thought, no, I don't need to add to the collection just yet. But had I seen that, I would have bought it.
David, you didn't see it because Scotty bought it.
Yeah, probably.
And then he bought it for like.
I didn't say anything about it on the day, mind you. It was Will.
So what Scotty's done, he's bought it for an undisclosed price, and he's selling it to you for $299 or nearest offer.
That's because. So I got there it was almost 9 o'clock, and like, I'll go for a walk. So I go have a look, and they're still setting up the stall. Mm-hmm. And then that was the one that was there. So I thought, oh, I'll grab it now. So I got in before anyone else.
Nice.
Because I used to always just go for the Hot Wheels ones, and I'm like, nah, they're not doing it as much for me. The 64 ones are actually really, really cool.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah, they've got great kit.
Great detail and stuff that they put into them. I think that is about it car-wise. Still 31 is still sitting there. Sorry, Mr. Wrigglesworth. We'll get onto that one because I saw him at the car show too, so I had a good chat. Mm-hmm. Got to do a day where I can just organize and start ripping that 31 apart and slapping a transmission.
We know a guy that's got that's got plenty, all the tools and all the firefighting equipment and all the hoists and all everything. He's a man.
I hope we don't start a fire putting a transmission in.
Well, you're in the right place if you do.
Strange things about.
We got it covered.
by the way, Rob, I started making up the merch, and I got a picture of you off Facebook, and then I've cut your face out, and I've cartoonized it a little bit, and.
Awesome.
The first one's a firefighting one, and I've started that one, so I'll have to send you some pictures of that.
Looking forward to it. That's a model they just released recently. Well, authentic. Oh.
Ooh, legend.
$60. It's a Targa Florio. It's a nutmeg in color. It's metallic brown. They come in three colors: aspen green, metallic green, and it's called a Megan Navy, which is a metallic blue.
Blue, yeah.
Yeah, most of them were blue, I think, weren't they?
Most of them were blue. Yeah, I think 300 were blue. The remaining were brown and green, the last 200.
You had three blue ones, didn't you?
So there you go. Sorry?
You had three blue ones, didn't you?
Two blue ones, two Targa blue ones, and I did have a nutmeg, but not a Targa. Even though I had the Targa sort of features, I didn't have a limited slip diff, which they come out standard with. They're all automatics. Some come out with factory integrated air, some didn't.
Yeah, I think you got to buy that model, David, Mr. Rob. I think that's important.
Yeah, I think I have to buy it. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it just came out today. I just released, and I just noticed quickly, sorry to interrupt, guys, but there's a 4.7 coupe that's up for sale.
Oh, yes.
$250,000.
Wow.
I mean, Rob, you could sell all your cars and buy that.
I wouldn't. Knowing what they will, they couldn't even get rid of them at one stage.
Yeah.
And there's a couple sitting under trees rusting away at one stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bold deposit taken, does it say, on that up the top?
Yes, yeah, there's deposit taken, and it was $250,000.
Wow.
Price $250,000.
Wow. Deposit taken and be very reluctantly given back.
Yeah.
Once the person's bank says no, we're not financing that. That's a stupid decision. Go away.
That's a bad decision.
That's a bold price to ask for a car that was, yeah, far and away not the prettiest thing ever built in Australia.
Yeah, that for the coupe. Yeah, you know, the coupes I thought looked quite nice styling wise. So they were sort of a bit roverish.
They were a bit, yeah.
Styling. They were actually building a 47V that they were going to actually race at Bathurst, which never eventuated.
Mm.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a car that I would have liked to have had, and I could have bought one at one stage. I could have got one for about $8,000. This is back in the late 80s, early 90s. Probably could have, should have, would have, but it didn't. So
you could have made $250,000, Rob.
Yes, there you go.
David Prince, updates with you.
Updates with me. Okay, so I have this week, I've got the deregistration certificate for the N1,
mm-hmm.
the incoming N1, hopefully incoming N1. There's still been no ruling on anything that's been discussed in regard to this halt on import approval. However, the only
one thing, David, unless you're about to mention it, there is like an upcoming meeting.
Okay, well, there have been two of those already and nothing's come from those.
Oh, there's another one May 15.
May 15? Okay, so that's next Tuesday. It's Tuesday week.
So Wednesday David
week,
Prince
tomorrow week.
David Prince will not be on the podcast that evening. Yeah.
I may be very happy on the podcast.
Yeah.
Look, the compliance workshop have come back to me and said, you're actually still allowed to continue to apply for import approval. They're just not granting them at the moment. Mm-hmm. So they've said you can still continue to apply for the import approval and the process goes on. However, if they decide they're not going to import K cars, which is very unlikely, it looks like they'll be restricted to certain models and certain year builds and stuff. So the very little information we've got now says that my car should be okay because of the build date. We're not counting our ducks just yet. We'll just wait and see. But quietly optimistic, I think you'd have to say.
Mm.
Took the Grand Prix Civic to Sakura Picnic on the weekend, which was great fun. It's had a bit of work done on it recently and is driving just great. That was fun. And I was going through my phone literally today and this name popped up and I thought, who's that? I have no idea who Tim Camber is. And then it hit me that that was the guy that sold me the car in 2019. So it was because he was in Canberra and his name is Tim. That was the association. I've never deleted his phone. So I thought, oh, well, so I chucked a few photos through to him and straight away I got a text back and I'll read it. I just said, a totally random text. I just noticed your number in my contacts list. I bought your dad's old Civic in 2019. Just thought you might like to know. It's fully restored and back on the road and was at this display on the weekend. And straight away he replied, that's so cool. Thanks for sharing. My dad would be so happy. It's got a new lease of life. It was a brilliant car and I'm thrilled to see it, seeing it looking so snazzy. Now, snazzy is a word you don't hear very often these days, but I think it applies in this instance.
Absolutely.
Well done on the restoration and thanks for the update. So I thought, well, that's cool. That spreads a little bit of joy into someone's day, doesn't it?
I like that.
I love stories like that. That's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was great. What else? Oh, the things have moved along with the Accord. I had a paint correction process done on it by a mate last week, which is just been incredible. The results, 90% of that paint on that car is original and it has come back as good a showroom, as close to showroom as you could get for a 30-year-old car. It's in having an auto trans service this week and they are replacing a front engine mount, which we can't get from Honda now, but we can get an aftermarket one for $110 because the other one is actually split in half. Mm. So how the car is actually even driving as good as it did, I don't understand. And I was driving it to workshop yesterday and I just thought, this is such a good car and I couldn't put my finger on it. And I realized it's that Accord range. And like a lot of cars, it's like the E-Class range in the Mercedes.
Mm.
You know, it's beautifully engineered. It's a good size. It's not too overdone and it's not underdone, you know. And I think the Accord range fits in that space for Honda. I mean, I love Legends. I've had a few Legend coupes. My daughter, hi, Em, if you're listening. She had a Legend Coupe for her first car. They all raised really light in the steering and didn't have a fragility about them, but always thought, oh, what could go wrong? You know, it was quite an expensive car to maintain and stuff. And, you know, the Civics are great, but they're a smaller, lighter sort of style car. The Accord just has a real sort of solid presence on the road. And I think in a lot of ways it's sort of the sweet spot. And with this thing with 470,000 Ks that it's done, just drives brilliantly. So I'm thinking that one's going to be staying around for a little while yet. So you will get to drive it.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I want to drive it. That'll be.
But everyone I show pictures to, and I've shown that video to a few people in the last couple of days, and, you know, they just can't believe that it's the age of it that it is, and it's done the Ks. I mean, it's remarkably good. So that's continuing to, and that'll be on club plates soon. So and things like, you know, the aerial master's broken. Well, everyone in the wreckers and everyone I've seen on the road since is also broken, and it's because it comes on and off, obviously, when you hit the button, but it's on the rear left-hand guard. So it sort of stands out a bit like a shag on a rock when it's up, and they're easily knocked or bumped or some people go through those horrible things called car washes, and, you know, if they're listening to the radio, boom, the first thing that goes is the aerial gets ripped off. And this one's got a very sort of jerry-made extension holding it upright, but it works. The radio works, but I've ordered the new shaft that goes just feeds into the electric motor, which is still working for $30. So that should be an easy fix too. So, yeah, coming along very well, that car.
So I'm excited to see it. Excited to drive that one. Alan?
The D-Max is due for a service now.
Mm-hmm.
I think this time it's been the 12 months rather than
the Ks.
Last year we got to the 15,000 Ks quickly. This year not so much. I think it's sitting at about 25,000.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done about 10,000 Ks a year, which is usually about my average here for the cars. So I'll get that booked in. This time I'm trying to get the little automatic locking for the tailgate actually installed because last time they were absolutely useless about it. They're like, oh, we'll put you in touch with the parts guys. I'm like, okay. They're like, this is how much it is. I'm like, what about the installation? Like, do you not coordinate? Because I don't just want the part. I do want it installed if I'm going through you guys. Otherwise, I'll just get the cheap version off online.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully that happens. If it doesn't, oh, well, I'll probably just DIY it. Now that I hear that Rob's got a hoist, you know, if you're willing to, you know, help out a poor Indian man, you know, willing to, you know, use some hoist time if that's available.
Oh, I actually took the E36 off the hoist last night and took the 430 for a drive to the workshops to get them sprayed up. So I brought the other cars back home. So the hoist is free at the moment. So for how long, I don't know.
I'll get in quick. I'll book it.
Yeah. Scotty's like, no, I've booked my transmission in.
Yeah, I already booked it, mate.
That's already take a number. Take a number.
You're going to send a deposit.
Yeah. I just got to try and get it over there.
So I can successfully get over there at least. The MX-5, I actually drove it to the picnic.
Mm-hmm.
I arrived past fashionably late. I arrived Indian late. So it was well into the afternoon when I had arrived. But I basically saw, you know, what I felt like seeing. I was mainly there for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we missed you there, Mr. Manager.
Yeah, I couldn't make it that day, guys.
Got to hang out with Dr. Edward Bunting, Mr. David Prince, and Scotty Doe. And basically, I met Ed first. He was scrounging around for a bottle of water. And he's like, all right, let's go meet the rest of the gang. And like on our way to meet the rest of the gang, Ed had been stopped by like 3-4 people. So we had spent like 45 minutes on the way to meet the rest of the gang. I thought, I don't think I'm going to meet the rest of the gang at this rate, you know. Eventually, we got there. I actually had a tasteful experience with the one and only Honda Civic Grand Prix that David brought.
It's a lovely little car, isn't it?
It is a lovely little car.
It's a gorgeous little example.
That, you know, that's the kind of car that could make me be a member of the Honda Car Club in Victoria.
Wow. 100%.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's some big words there, David Prince.
That was I offered David a trade for the MX-5.
He did actually.
Really? There you go.
It gave me an insight into how much you liked it. Actually, I've got to say.
Yeah.
That's a trade that you wouldn't often get from you, I would think.
Yeah. Well, you are a Civic man. Like your parents had a shuttle, didn't they?
Yeah, we had a red Civic sedan.
Yep.
And a Civic Shuttle.
A Civic Shuttle.
So we were like a Honda. You know.
Honda.
So that would have been your wheelhouse, that era of Honda.
Yeah.
That would have been right in it.
I think the offer involved the MX-5 and cash my way.
And some cash. I was misinformed of the price, but I'll honor it. I'll give you $50 on top. That is cash. But yeah, it was a lovely little car, and it really shows, I guess, that you've put in care and effort, and you being the interior god that we know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've obviously, it looks real mint.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. It's one of those cars, like, you're like, has this car just been sitting in, you know, a showroom where, like, maybe they've had a person sit in it for a little while, maybe go on test drive, and that's about it? Because it's very clean on the inside, and that blue, you know, it's just, I love it.
You should drive that, Alan. It is so sweet to drive. It is a beautiful.
He had a Matty J drive around the paddock.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
I did a quick one. And I was like, I'd like to just give it a little bit more, but the terrain just, you know, wasn't for it. So, but I was like,
it was the four-wheel drive shuttle, sadly.
Yeah. But it was lovely. Like, just, you know, something so analog and classic, you know, having the choke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this does take me back to like cars that we had in the olden days. We're like, got to give us some gas to actually start it up.
Start the car, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, a lovely experience. You know, I took quite a few photos of a few different cars. There's a number of Centuries there.
Mm.
There's one in, I think it was a blue, that looked quite lovely, but it was bagged, and you know, to each their own, but yeah. And I'd say pretty solid experience overall.
So let's get into Sakura Picnic, because so you rocked up, as you would say, Indian late.
Yes. In the afternoon.
In the afternoon, yeah. You took the MX-5 out. Did the MX-5 say, "Don't sell me, I'm still good"?
Nah. The MX-5 got relegated to like the regular parking. I didn't even wash it. It was like dirty as. I should have, as David said, take like a for sale sign.
You should have.
But considering how dirty the car was, probably would have devalued the situation.
But so you rocked up, you made the 2 hour so you made the half an hour trek to Sakura, then the hour trek to meet the gang.
Yep.
Because
and then by that time the cars were starting to leave.
Favorite cars that you saw there?
There was like David's Civic was lovely. There was, I believe, an older Civic. It was an RS.
It was.
That was probably the one that caught my eye the most. Mm-hmm. I'm not super well versed in the
early Civics,
but that looked real, real nice.
It actually is a replica, as like Rob's laser, but it's a very well done replica. Again, like Rob's laser, it's because the RS would. Was the sporting model in the first gen Civic, so was released in Japan, I think, 74. So 5-speed Taco, different trim.
Hello.
And twin carb engine.
Mm-hmm.
This guy in the club is a guru with carbies and stuff, and that car is just lovely, very reliable, and he's had it restored now for about 20 years, I suppose.
Oh, wow.
And brings it out to shows and stuff, but it's a lovely example. And fun fact that we actually had parked next to it a Phoenix Orange 2023 Civic RS. So the badge is the same from the two cars, which shows that nod sort of almost 50 years apart. And as I think I've said on the show before, it actually stands for road sailing. It doesn't stand for rally sport. So that's a really cool car. And a lot of people commented on that car and took photos and stuff, because it's pretty unusual to see a clean EB1 now. But that's certainly a good example.
Just as a context for our listeners who haven't listened to previous episodes, Sakura Picnic is a Japanese car show that gets held by the Toyota Car Club of Victoria every year. They do two big events. It's that one, and they do Classic Japan at the end of the year. So this one's an all Japan friendly thing, but also Asian now. Yeah. So they've changed this year. So they allowed Korean cars and cars from, I think, Proton.
I could have taken the D-Max.
You could have taken the D-Max. It's
Japanese company, Thailand made.
Doesn't matter. Really, it's probably one of the more premier events on the calendar in terms of car shows in probably Australia. I'd say it's a massive event. Always a good turnout every year. So Alan, that was your pick.
Yep. That'd be my pick.
That was your pick. What about you, Scotty?
All righty. I had to take photos because there's so much to look at, I forget. If I didn't have these photos, I'd be sitting there going,
I'm doing the same thing, Scotty.
To start off with my photos, something very simple, not really much done to it, but it wasn't that far from where the Hondas were situated. It was just a Suzuki Vitara. Mm-hmm. It was a new one, and I just really, really liked the color.
Oh, it was a great color, yeah.
That nice kind of bluish green color. Looked fantastic. Yeah. Love the color.
I love a color in a car. Like you know, colors on a car, you know, make it interesting.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah. I think it's important. Let's just keep it up, car companies. We like different colors, you know?
We do.
Do it. The next one is the Bluebird Ventura. There's a really nice Bluebird Ventura there. It's just
look at that.
In there too. Very nice. Even had the dealer sticker on the side there too, which was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
So the original. So I really enjoyed that one. Out in the parking lot was 2 400 Zs there, a Nismo one and just a normal one. So that was awesome to see two of those parked there together.
They're probably still owned by Nissan because I haven't really sold any.
Probably. Too expensive. I'd get one, but too expensive. For the people that like How to Train Your Dragon, there was a 34 there. See, it's got the little the black
toothless
one.
What's his name? Yeah.
Toothless, that's right. Was on there too. I really thought that was pretty neat by the P-Plater. Pretty much $500,000 right there of a 34 GDR M-Spec.
Is that Millennium Jade, that one?
No, wasn't Millennium Jade. We've got Toyota Century. Oh, yes, this was a nice color. There was a Datsun Ute there. Mm. It's like red on like a cream on the back there. So that looked really neat.
I saw photos of that on Instagram. It's kind of like a candy red, really, and candy apple red with a cream interior. It looked lovely. It looked beautiful.
And then we had the three-rotor beast. I know at the end of the day, David Day went to talk to the owner, drove around and stopped to talk to the owner.
I've had a few of these.
This picture doesn't do it justice of the engine bay and how big that turbo is. But that was in an S15. So.
Wow. That was a 26? That'd be 26.
I'm not sure if it was a 26 or a 25.
Mm.
Not 100% sure on that one. I didn't get to find the owner.
Given the size of the turbo, I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
The next best thing was the Mr. Duck. There was a duck there with the owners. Ed and I had a chat with them for a bit. So they've had the duck since it was super young, and it just follows. Like, you can just, if they got up and started walking around to look at the cars, it would just follow along.
And it wouldn't fly away or anything?
Nope.
What the hell?
Yep. Because it's just like imprinted on them, so it just plods along and does its thing and just follows along with you. So
that's hilarious. If I would have brought Thomas, he would have had a field day. He'd be like,
dinner.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So Ed's thinking of that. That's going to be his next pet.
You have to register a duck?
That is a great question.
I honestly don't know.
Hi, RSPCA. Hey, how you doing? Look, I'd like to register. Now. Is it a feline or a canine? It's a duck.
as long as you don't get caught, you don't have to register anything.
Correct.
When we went to school, there was a goat. It sometimes come out of the street, do the lawn mowing.
You don't have to pay for a lawn mower.
Kebab.
Yeah, that was a plan eventually.
That was the plan.
That wants to go hit retirement.
The next one was it's just an Evo 6, but the awesome thing was this engine bay.
Oh, wow. It's like mint.
Looked better than factory.
Wow.
Like, that heat shield is usually rusted by now, so they've cleaned that up so good. Everything was just stock and completely original. Something that you just don't see anymore, especially in Evo engine bays. they tend to have quite a lot of rust, especially with the heat shield and everything. So you can just tell a little detail like that has gone a long way.
Mm.
My other little favorite there, Nismo Note S was out in the car park, so I had to get a photo of that little beast.
There's a few of them getting around. Like I'm seeing a few of them on the road now. Yeah,
there is now. That was for David. That was for sale. Remember we saw it?
Yes, driving out. That was lovely. That was so original and
It was.
That's what I liked about it.
EK9 Civic Type R.
Type R that's for sale. I'm sure it's after quite a lot of money. So
yeah, they demand quite.
I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. And also in the car park.
Oh yes.
Really nice. Bit, 260.
That's a bit of me. I like those.
Then I wanted to have a look at some luxury because they had in the Toyota Century, they had the windows down. You just see the seats like far out.
So people have for our listeners, people have like kind of set it up to look like people are eating in there and kind of like having a meal and with all the fold out tables and stuff. I can see you in a Century.
Yeah.
You won't be driving it. Oh, it'll be me driving. You're in the back of it.
Go through the KFC drive through.
They had the Century
little tape
as well sitting there.
That's cool.
Ooh.
If I can zoom in a little bit more with Century written on it and play button and rewind and everything on it.
Like a dictaphone thing.
Yeah, to listen to your music.
Or listen to what you've told your Yakuza to go do. Listen back to make sure that they're listening.
And then after looking at two Turagos, I thought what Turagos could look like on the interior if it was a Velfire.
Oh, that's cool.
That's in the back, and you still got another row behind it.
That's like gold class, isn't it?
Yeah, full recliners and everything, and drink holders right next to you, and then there's TV screen on the back. Like, okay, that's.
I think I could sit there. On a like big a set grid. Of headphones for each passenger as well.
Oh,
yeah,
so sick. Just put them on, you know.
So sick.
So yeah, I could chill. I could sit there. That'd be fine. Yeah.
We should buy. We should. Why don't we just buy a house Velfire for all of us? We'll chip in. That'd be cool.
Done. So that was my list. Because I thought, you know what, I can't just pick one. It's too hard. There's just so many bits and pieces of everyone's car that I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love the engine bay of the Evo. It was fantastic. And then I love the color of that Datsun U. And then, you know, I love the originality and everything about the 34 GDR with the LMGT M rims and stuff. I was like, that's awesome. So I can't I can't do it. I'm afraid. Can't pick one.
David Prince, can you pick one? Or have you got a few like to miss the specific?
Impossible to pick one. But certainly some standouts to me. And not the sort of conventional ones that you'd imagine. Has been there a couple of times before, but I always enjoy seeing it. Not because it belongs to a mate of mine, but I know, knowing the guy, I know why it is the way it is. But there's a single cab Hilux SR5 ute in orange and a bit of a lift kit. I think it's about an 83 model. And that thing is incredibly...
Was that the one in the middle?
Yeah,
so, that's insane, that one.
Guy called Paul owns that, who runs a panel shop in Burwood, and lovely, lovely bloke. And, that thing is just crazy good. Couple of cars that I hadn't seen at Classic Japan before.
That's probably the best Hilux like of that in the world. I'd say so.
It's crazy good. And he's actually got the later model in a 4Runner that's on the road every day. It's his drive car at the moment, but he's going to do a similar thing. So unless he's got the pair sort of restored. But this has got the factory alloys. It's got the white lettering on the tyres. It's got the factory stripes. It just looks mint. And it's bright orange too. So
we love a colour.
We do love that colour. The other thing, just parked behind us, was a KE55 Corolla Double X Coupe. So that was the first time that the Double X badge was on a local car here in Australia. So it was the pretty little Corolla coupe with color-coded bumpers and those nice little 13-inch alloy wheels. And that was like above the CS, so that was the luxury model. Only available in the coupe in the KE55s, but a really original survivor car. And a mate had one exactly the same colour back in the day. So I said that straight to him and said, check this out. He said, oh, my goodness, that's... It could have been his car, I don't know. But, yeah, centre red, the colour's called bright pillarbox red with a grey interior, crushed velour interior. Very 80s. There was also... there were some nice collections of things. There was a lovely row of mid-80s Celicas. So mm-hmm. I was having this discussion, I think, with you, Scotty. I can't remember the code. ST...
I can't remember.
They're ST165s.
165s, that sounds right. So the twin cam, 16-valve, pop-up headlights, beautiful. There was like three or four of them in a row, like, you know, all pretty mint and original. Behind that, there were four Subaru Vortexes in a row.
Wow.
I've seen Vortexes there before, but I don't think I've ever seen four in a row.
No.
That was pretty cool. I only saw one MR2, a black one. Did you see many, Scotty? Did you see any other ones?
I only saw that one.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, that's all I saw.
A very, very, very tidy and original 81 626 coupe. So the last of the rear-wheel drive 626s, but in a two-door coupe. In that light silver metallic blue colour, probably some more silver than blue, but really nice colour, a lovely original car. And a young girl driving it, you know, which is great to see, you know, that there's that age group. And we've talked about this before on the podcast, but I think Japanese cars are very cool in that they do cover all age groups.
Yeah.
And people can really, you see a lot of young people, as many young people as older people, really enjoying them. One thing we actually had on the Honda display, which was pretty new and unusual though, I think it's the first one in Australia. One of our members arrived at the Gearbox event on Saturday with a Honda Moto Compacto, which is a little electric. It's not really a replacement for the Moto Compo, but it's certainly been designed with a nod to the fact that it's folds up and the wheel folds in, the handlebars and the seat fold in, and you can weighs 15 or 18 kilos, I think, and you can lift. It's actually got a carry handle that has Honda written on it, and you can just carry it like a folding table and then just set it up and ride it away. That was pretty cool.
That's very cool.
A lot of people were like doing a double take seeing that. I've never seen one in Australia before, and I'm pretty sure this is the only one. I don't think anyone's bringing them in New South Wales, but this fellow's son lives in America, and he actually organised him to get it and had it shipped out. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
He had that in the back of his CRX Targa. So it fits nicely in one of those.
There's a few in America of those. A few people in America have got them.
A lot of people in America. They're $979 in America.
Okay.
American dollars, I think. So there's a lot of them on Instagram.
Yeah. Are they an American thing only, or?
No. I think they're built. I think they're built in Japan. So they'd be in Japan as well. I think you'd probably be better to try and get one in from Japan, given the dollar the way it is. We're better than parity now with the yen, so
yeah. Good time. Next Japan trip, I might bring one home with me.
Yeah, hand luggage.
Quite literally, carry on luggage. That would be fun.
There was one more that I forgot to mention that I hadn't seen in person before. Was a Ford Laser Lynx. 1990 Ford Laser Lynx was there, so.
Wow.
They are surprisingly very, very hard car to find these days. Like they just don't exist. They're rare when they were new.
Yes, I thought that was pretty cool to come across one of those.
What's so special about them?
They were a unique body style for like the KJ era of Laser. So the first of the Japanese import era. Yeah, they were like the TX3 replacement, inverted commas. So three-door only. They came with like... It's completely different, like chassis wise the same, but body wise all different. So very, very rare. Like they just don't exist. But yeah, cool to find one when you do.
So is there a Mazda equivalent or didn't they weren't?
Yeah, so again it's still based on the 323. But they had the 323s, they got it. It's not Lantis, it's another name for it, which was the equivalent that they had. Becoming a Laser aficionado, Rob. It's good.
I'm learning.
So what car did you take on the? So you took the Grand Prix Civic, David. Yep. You took Scotty took the Blade. Alan took the MX-5. What did Ed take and the rest of the gang?
Turagos. Ed and Chad.
Turago and Chad took Turagos.
Yeah. Did they tell me they parked next to each other?
Yep.
Yeah.
I sat in Ed's Turago for a little bit because I think Ed's back was hurting a bit. And he said, why don't we sit down? I said, come into my office. And
I think he was doing interviews while he was there.
Yeah. He was lining up some car sales. And I think there was talk about a manual Accord Euro.
Mm.
There was I think somebody that knew him. A young boy, I think he's about 16 and a half, who was looking to get it. And I said, what if I want it? And, you know, it's one of the cooler cars I have. I think there was a Euro R there at the picnic.
Yes, yes, I saw a couple of Euro R's.
Yeah, quite a clean one. So, you know. But the Turago was rather comfortable. I also sat in the pilot's chair, you know.
Yes.
And yeah, I thought it was missing a second armrest on the gear shifter side. I think that'll make it the ultimate comfort, especially while you're cruising once you're already in top gear. You know, just has it
arms down.
Yeah, arms down, just chilling. Just have a couple of fingertips on the steering wheel. That's all you need.
That's all you need. Ah, love it. Absolutely love it. And so Chaz one was there as well.
Yes. Right next to it.
So they're both white, aren't they? Yeah.
Yep.
That would have been pretty cool. Did they keep both doors open or something? And just like, yeah, that would have been very cool.
Chad was cheating, but his seats were in the back, but they actually weren't mounted. I didn't notice. So I think he's had them out for some reason, but his is a getaway version.
Oof.
So, you know, rare limited edition. I love a limited edition.
And his is a manual too, which is got to be rare. Got to be unusual. Yeah, which is very, very cool. Anyone else? So Riggles brought which Bangalore did he bring?
He didn't actually stay. He'd actually done a bit of running around in the morning, but he was in Mandy, which is the beige GLX.
Mm-hmm. It's a very cool car. David Prince, you've shared a picture to us of an action shot from Riggles. Scotty shared us a picture of Ed driving in the Turago, driving in.
Yeah. I'm just going through the pictures now.
Yeah, I think they're actually taken by the same person, K73. Yeah. Great photographer, whoever you are. Thank you.
Yes, very good photographer.
There's Chad straight after him in the getaway. How cool is a getaway? Like, I love the hubcaps on it though. Like the hubcaps are great.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it was another successful day at
It sure was. It was great.
That's a Sakura picnic. That sounds great. Anyway, moving on, gentlemen, to tonight's quiz. You guys ready for the quiz?
Never.
So, Alan, I need to get you to the other side so that they don't say any collusion or anything.
I've got a chance. Yeah.
Get rid of him. Get rid of him.
I've still got the power of latency on my side.
Move along.
Can't beat in studio. Yeah.
So we've got Rob, we've got Scotty, we've got David, and we've got Alan playing for tonight's prestigious award of bragging rights, as it normally is, on every
Tuesday
night. Until the next Tuesday, correct, and window. Question one, are you guys ready? So 10 questions plus some bonus questions. Here we go. The Honda E:N(n)y1 is a play on words for what? Small e, colon, capital N, small y, and the number one is a play on words for what?
David, I'll have no idea, but I'll take a guess.
David?
New electric one?
Incorrect.
Okay.
Good guess, though. Good guess.
Wait, e colon.
Small e colon, capital N.
Capital N.
Y. Small y.
Small y.
And number one. This is a model of a car. And they're actually changing the name of it because
it's stupid.
Because it's ridiculous. Yeah.
It's stupid. Yeah. Good. It's the full electric SUV they sell in Europe, I think, isn't it?
I believe so. Yes. That is the one.
Any clues? Can you give us a bit of a hint?
It's one word. try say it to yourself.
Alum.
Alum.
Is it anyone?
It is anyone. Well done.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone.
Anyone is what it stands for. I'm like, why? Like, what crack were they smoking when that came out? Like, that's just boggled my mind. Question two is a guess the car based on the ad. Ouch. The blank Alpha doesn't just look sharp. Behind the cutting edge design lies a powerful.
Could you start again? Sorry, I missed the first bit. Ouch.
Ouch. The blank Alpha doesn't look sharp. Behind the cutting edge design lies a powerful 1.5 liter engine, four wheel disc brakes, not to mention David.
A Paseo Alpha.
It is Paseo Alpha. Well done. That is correct, David Prince. Question three. A new class action against two popular dual cab utes has been announced today. On which two dual cab utes are they? One point David. For each. David.
Oh, someone told me this the other day. Is it the BT50 and the D-Max?
That is absolutely correct. 2 points to you, David. Bonus question. What is the reason why?
Alum. Cracking in the where the suspension tower thing goes. Frame cracking.
What?
Body cracking. Inside, underneath the hood. It's a thing, I tell you.
And what's that causing?
The car to just mess up. Like it's in the structural areas. Cause the car to bow over.
Oh, I can't give it to you, Alan. Sorry.
You know it's right.
It's not. It's actually not the exact reason, but I'll...
Close enough. I'll get half point.
I'll give you 0.5 because that is, you know, I'm a pushover, I get it, but that is kind
half
of
point,
mentioned.
Half
any other guesses, guys?
David, the firewall?
Nah, I'll buzz you guys out. It is, it's like extreme premature tire wear. Like
that's right. Yes.
Because they're, the alignments just getting chalked out like way hard. So
they've been blaming it on people fitting aftermarket bull bars and everything else. Yep. But even with what they've supplied the factory, it's been happening. So people are a bit upset. And rightfully so.
Absolutely. Question four. The car radio or the car stereo was introduced by which car manufacturer?
Alum.
Alum.
Ford.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
Scott. Cadillac.
Cadillac is incorrect. You're quite close there, Scotty. Rob was next.
I thought it was Chrysler.
Incorrect.
Oh.
General car manufacturer.
Yes, what car manufacturer?
General Motors.
I can give you a 0.5, David. I was off to the exact name. It was Chevrolet. In particular.
Chevrolet manufacturer. That's right.
Yeah. Which bonus question, in which decade was the first car radio fitted?
Alum.
Alum.
In the 1940s.
Incorrect.
Scott.
Scott.
50.
Incorrect.
Rob.
Rob.
1930s.
Incorrect.
Ooh, David.
David.
The 20s.
The 20s is absolutely correct. Well, it was the 20s. You Brad bring it today.
I Brad bring that one. Yeah, absolutely.
Damn you, David. Damn you. That was my role.
Question five. The 29th.
Old radio back then.
Yeah. Question five. The 29th Sultan of Brunei has the largest car collection in the world.
It's a Batmobile.
No.
All right. Continue the question.
Approximately how many cars does he own in his collection?
Oof.
So he has
the largest car collection in the world.
Okay.
So bigger than Jay Leno, bigger than, like, Jay Leno pales in comparison, put it that way.
All right. Alum.
Alum.
1,430.
I'll give it to closest to. Alum says 1,430.
I'm going to say 724,
says Scotty.
I'll go 1495.
1495, says David Prince. And Rob?
I'll say 1800.
Rob, you're closest. He's got 7,000 of the damn things.
One of the cars is a Batmobile.
One of the cars is a Batmobile. It is correct. Yeah. That is.
Oh, my God.
7,000. Imagine the maintenance. Like, how would you wouldn't maintain them. You just keep them there. Like, they just
imagine
be like,
service month. It'd be service decade. It's nuts.
How would you choose what to drive? Like, it just boggles the mind.
Most of them, you'd be right. It just kept there. Like, you'd have like a dealership's worth of mechanics that are working on a group of cars each day. Yeah. And by the time they finish the set, they're already on back to the original set.
Yeah. So he's got 7,000 vehicles there, gentlemen.
Did you put that question in just to make us all feel better?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, because so, I know we've all got multiple cars, you know, next time anyone says to me, "Oh, you've got so many cars," I'm like, "Mate, the Sultan of Brunei has got like 7,000, so don't talk to me. I've got nothing."
I mean, it's always the response that you're a Sultan. Yep. When you're a Sultan, you can have 7,000.
Question six: the Porsche Boxster and Porsche Cayman have a number in front of their name. What is it?
David. A number in front of their name.
Yeah, and so it's got blank, blank. It's got number and then, you know, Spider or Boxster or whatever.
Current ones?
Current ones, yeah.
A 7, aren't they? 718?
718 is correct.
Damn you, David, I had that.
718 is absolutely correct. Question 7. Ford has announced in Australia that the updated fuel Ford Puma is only coming here in one form. What will that form be?
Alum. You said updated fuel?
Only in one. Sorry, updated.
It's an electric form.
It is an electric form. Well done. So they're discontinuing the normal one and only bringing the electric one. Like that's going to make any difference at all. But anyway,
it'll be as popular as the Mustang Mach-E.
Yeah, it'll be as popular as the Mustang. I saw one on the road the other day. I was like, wow, there's a Mustang Mach-E on the road.
Should have thrown a rock at it.
Question 8. In what year was MG bought by its current owners, SAIC, after they went into receivership?
Alum. 2014.
2014 is incorrect.
Scott. 2012.
Incorrect.
I have a guess. It's a fair while ago.
It was.
2010?
Incorrect. I'll give you a hint, Rob, because I want to help you here. It was before 2010.
I know that. And I thought it was early 2000s, about 03, 04, I thought.
It was 05.
It was early.
You were so close. Well, they were cooked by the time it was 02, and they held on by a thread until 04, and in 05 they got put into receivership.
So they just kind of held on to the rights, I guess.
Pretty much, yeah.
Until they started bringing out Chinesium.
Chinesium, correct. Score check, Scotty. Come on, got to get on the board, man. Got to get
I'm not done with this time.
Rob 1, Alum 2.5. David Prince is leading on a grand total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.5. Question 9. What was the first tire brand to be used on the moon?
Rob.
Michelin?
Incorrect.
Scott.
Alum got in there just.
Bridgestone?
Incorrect. Scotty was next.
Goodyear.
Goodyear is correct. Scotty, you're on the board. Woo!
Yeah.
American again.
Goodyear was the first tire brand to be featured on the moon. So the last question is a brochure question. For high performance 4-liter turbocharged dual overhead cam 24-valve i6 Garrett GT3 540 turbo producing 270 kilowatts and 500 alum.
This would be the F6 Typhoon.
That would be correct, alum.
BF and specifically.
That is correct. Yeah. Well done. I will pay you that, alum. That is the Car Talk Car Quiz for tonight.
Even reading that, or did you know that off?
I knew it off my heart, but I was reading it to be official. So Rob and Scott on one each, Alum on a grand total of 3.5, and tonight's winner on 5.5 is Mr. David Prince. Well done.
Yay. Congratulations, David.
Thank you very much.
Very, very good. Well done. In terms of going forward for like more car shows for like, you know, classic Japanese stuff and the like, do you guys see any more of those being prevalent, or do you think that it's just going to be the main two every year in terms of like, you know, Classic Japan and stuff? Like, is there any other car like organizations that are pushing those? Because like I know Rob, you know, you go to a lot of car shows, and in particular, you know, there's, you know, all 4 days is a huge event, and all these other events like
Northern Gals
is huge. Yeah, all these different events are massive. Do you see like other events that take place for that, or are they just keeping it simple with those two on the calendar?
It's a tough one to answer.
Mm.
You would hope that there'd be more. And I think there'll be a shift in the cars as we get older. The youngies will come in with their cars, and there'll be a lot more Commodores and things like that coming in. I mean, they're already there. I mean, it's just everywhere you go now, it's left, right, and center Commodores.
As a joke, we should do like an electric car meet and set up somewhere in the bush where like everyone's going to need a recharge. But there's only like one charger in the vicinity. Just so they learn a lesson.
You evil, evil man.
and we charge for the charging as well.
Get the extension lead out, Russell Coit. You know,
Russell Coit style. No, but like, but seriously, because like the reason why I'm asking this question, because David, you said like a youngish lady was driving that 929, and you know that car was made before her, before she was born. My MR2 was made before I was born. You know, and yeah, so is my Scamp and the like. But you know, do you see that's becoming a more prevalent thing, that younger kids are more getting into the Japanese stuff. Especially like, you know, a bit of nostalgic stuff. Like obviously, you know, Skylines and stuff are getting a bit out of the price range there. Like I had one of my year eights yesterday say to me, "Oh, so the 34 GDR is my dream car." And I'm like, I thought two things. First of all, in the back of my head, I was like, yeah, you're like five, so of course it is. But two, I said, they're awesome. Do you know how much they're worth? And he's like, oh yeah, they're only about $250,000. I'm like, only about $250,000. and he's like, isn't that cheap? I'm like, I know a guy that bought one for under 50 grand. And he's like, what do you mean? They were that cheap? I'm like, they were at one point. So
like a clean V-spec, you know, baseline blue for like 60. And it's just like, wow.
Dude, you could have bought a Hisa 60 like back in the day.
Like a great example for that. And this is like now.
Like, do you think that like the kids are getting into other Japanese stuff just to be able to get their foot into the door of a classic Japanese car? Or even any classic car for that matter. I mean, you know, the 929 is a great example, but you know, I've seen, you know, yeah, some kids getting into just all random stuff. Especially like older European stuff. Like kids like to get into like E30s. Like I know you've got an E30, Rob, and that's a really cool car for young you know, enthusiasts, because you know they're a great little car. Do you see that shift kind of going towards, well, we can't afford a 34 GTR, let's afford, you know, a
As long as cars have been around, I think there's been that, you know. I mean, you can't afford, most people can't afford their dream car. I mean, that's partly why it's a dream car. But if you're lucky enough to get to the point where you can, and that's why GTHOs and XU1 Taranas and that are worth as much as go for. They're not worth as much as they go for, but you know, it was their aspirational car for that demographic of people, and then now they've got the disposable income that's a consideration, sort of thing. So I think that will continue to be drive along. I do worry that a lot of the modern cars today won't be being restored like the older cars are, because they're too complicated and too electronic, which is just part of the way of the world that we're in now. But
in saying that, probably not. It won't be an issue, because you've got MoTeC, and there's a lot of companies coming out with all electronic controllers and systems. But what's going to be hard is to replicate all the plastics, all the rubbers, how complex they are, trying to restore them. Unless, you know, there's going to be a niche in the market. I know you do a lot there, Dave, with the restoration. And there's another guy who does a lot of like sticky button restorations for old, you know, Ferraris and stuff like that.
Yep, Bill Moose of BM Leather Creations. You're coming on the podcast, Bill, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think there'll be a good market for people to get into that part of the business in restoring some of the cars being built today. So maybe even rare spares might start changing what they're going to start making, because not everyone can afford a HT or HG or, you know, XWXY or XAXB. So it's going to be the next lot of cars, the VKs, VLs, and then I'll move on to the next lot of cars. And that business will evolve with what people are buying and what they can afford.
Yeah.
Think of the days of rare spares selling FG parts.
Oh, I mean, like,
well, they might come to that. BA parts, FG parts.
I think they've got a few BA and stuff, you know, just little bits and pieces there. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, so some of these parts are getting very, very hard to get, like belt moldings and all that sort of stuff. Are, you know, like they, you know, they're the first things to really perish on a car, and they, and once they're gone, they're gone. Like, they're nobody's repairing them. So I guess, you know, and I found that really hard with my MR2. Like, I actually found it very hard because I didn't know anybody in the MR2 game here in Australia in particular. You know, I've had to get all my parts from the UK. Not even Japan could help me. But, you know, and that's saying something. Like, or like Japan's like, oh, that's a rare car. Like, you know, they don't really have anything for them. I had to get all my bits and pieces from the UK because they seem to be the place, which I found astonishing. But there's a website called Toots R Us that, it's the most dodgiest website ever, and everyone's like, if I buy some stuff, will it actually arrive? And everyone's like, yes, on the forums they will, but even though it's a dodgy website, they're very good, and they make you know, like bits and pieces, like for the electric window motors, the gears and stuff, and you know, just to keep them going. But in terms of full body parts and stuff like that, and trims and things, they're trying to, but they're not doing enough. Like for example, like you could essentially rebuild a VW Combi or a Beetle or a GTHO from brand new if you start to finish, you know. And I rue the day that I said, I've got to, you know, get my laser, you know, I want to kind of, you know, redo the bodywork. The interior is fine on it, but the bodywork's just hammered. And I'm just like, well, you know, the side skirts have got cracks in them, you know, the bars have got cracks in them. Like, they're just, it's just mm-hmm. 330,000 Ks of wear and tear. You know, and I'm just like, well, you know, I every time I go to the wreck, I look for belt moldings, and I look for and they're all cooked, they're all stuffed, they're all terrible. So I'm like, well, you know, they're going to be as bad as each other. What's the point? Yeah. So
you're stuck in that kind of no man's land of the cars are old enough now that they're needing these parts, but they're not necessarily popular enough for there to be a demand for those parts. Yeah. It's a difficult kind of situation. I mean, that's where I think part of the evolution of 3D printing is kind of a great option, where, like, you know what, I'll make my own part.
Yeah.
And if it's good enough, and, you know, you go through a few iterations, it can actually be like you're the person that now sells it.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that, like, hobbyist activity of, like, with 3D printing being so much more accessible, that kind of stuff, like, there may be people that are really, really passionate who have had a problem or something, and they can be that part of the community where they're like, you know what, I'll make these and I'll, you know, send them on. Some people might just buy them as preventative maintenance, because if everyone knows that this gear always breaks or something in the window or motor, like, let's all just buy a set and hang on to it, that sort of stuff.
Like, I know with my laser in particular, like, every time I go to the records and I see some hard to get bits, I just take them off. Like, you know, whether it be a switch, whether it be like those fog lights, I've got like another three sets, I think I've got of them, because I remember when I cracked one.
You're turning into a hoarder now.
No, you're the culprit. There's no lights.
When I cracked one, I got a stone chip on one. They wanted $600 or $700 for one, and I'm like, you guys are insane. It's a Ford laser. That's a quarter of the car. And they're like, oh no, that's how much they go for. And then someone backed into me and broke it anyway, so I got it replaced. But you know, every time I see one, I get them from, like, you know, the do-it-yourself breakers for, like, you know, yeah, for a reasonable price. But that's because I know they're getting harder to get bits and pieces for. The car's, you know, almost 25 years old, and which in the grand scheme of things is not that old.
No.
But when they're all, you know, meeting their fate by the big graveyard in the sky, they're getting harder to get, and a lot of the good parts are getting just either thrown away or because they're like, oh, no one's gonna want this, it's a laser, who cares? And, you know, like, having said that though, like my Typhoon's 20 years old this year. Like, I can't believe it's 20 years old. Like, that, it feels insane to me that car is 20 years old. And even now I'm like, well, I should start, like, you know, going to a wrecker and see if there's any hard to get, like, bits of trim and things. I just put them away in case anything happens. But in the same token, I'm like, well, the car's fine. So, but, you know, it kind of plays in your mind. Do I get the stuff now while I still can? And that way, you know, get into it early, or
you say,
or,
that, Matty, because you need orders to keep these parts for future. I know a lot of the P76s on the roads today are kept on the roads because of these hoarders. That they'll cut back when they were a dime a dozen, not cutting up the parts, storing the parts, stashing them away, keeping every part that they could for when that time comes, like this day and age, to keep those cars on the road.
Wow.
Like, a lot of times, depending on the car you have, like, if somebody's got an R31, A lot of times it's not their only R31. That's their good R31.
Where
like
parts
two other R31s have like donated parts into to kind of get the one good one.
Well, it's sad, you know. It's sad, but it's true, right? Like for, like I mean, David, you do a lot of record runs as we all do.
Yep.
You know, and I know when I went to the Gearbox with you, like it's quite literally an Aladdin's cave. Like you've got everything from Scamps to Accords to Civics. You know. Bits and pieces of trim and bits and pieces of this and a random switch knob and this and that. And I'm like, far out. Like that's, it's awesome. Like, it's really, really cool. And I'm like, wow, that, you know, if I need anything, and I have needed stuff for the Scamp, like you've been the guy to ask. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I should have one of those. And you've been fantastic with that. But like my mom's XR8, for example, you know, I think I showed you, David, the light switch button, the white, you know, it's peeling off, wearing off. And everyone at the records is either gone or just even worse condition. I've checked online and there's a really bad, like, you know, remake replacement and it looks really tacky. And I'm like, I'm not going to put that on it. So I'm like, far, even a car from the 90s is getting hard to get bits for. Like, so it's getting to the point now where like I'm doing a lot of record runs just to find little bits of trim and bits and pieces. And if I find two, I'll just take them. I'm like, well, I'm, you know, they're coming home with me. So.
You got me thinking of the little top garnish bit for the ICC of like BAs and BS.
The triangle.
The little triangle. Like you go to Wreckers and no, like if you find one that's not broken, like you'd have better luck finding like the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Like, just every single car you step into, it's broken.
Yeah.
You step into somebody that's using their car, that's also broken.
Yeah.
Like you just have to order it new. Oh. There's no option otherwise.
Dude, I'm terrified of the one in the Typhoon because it's the gauge pod, gauge pod.
It's even worse.
And like, you know, apparently it's stronger because it's got, you know, it's recessed.
Mm.
But I'm terrified of breaking that because I've seen them online go for a damaged one is like $800. I'm like, that's insanity. What the hell? Like, I'm not paying $800 for a piece of plastic, but you know, if you want your car perfect, you might have to, it's one of those things that it's kind of like you know, what do you do? So would you recommend...
Gosh, if only there was someone who could repair plastics in the car interiors.
I think I know a guy. Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. You can't.
No one good.
Well, I hope that guy is ready for me to bring my... what's it called, roof racks and roof rails over for it to get glued back together. I've got them in bags of like, this was the right hand piece and they're just, you got to like Lego it to get it back together.
Well, I've got a couple of pieces for those roof racks too there, Maddie, if you ever need to get the bits and pieces together.
Don't roof parts.
Well, I'm actually terrified of, because like to respray the car properly, the laser, you have to take the roof rails off. But to take them off, properly, you got to remove the headliner of the car because it's all underneath the headliner. So I'm terrified that as soon as I start to unbolt them or get them, they're just going to strip because they're just going to shut up.
Really easy. I've unbolted quite a few of them. They're quite easy to unbolt and they come apart quite easily. It's just taking the clip off the top because they didn't have they unbolt. So I sort of started taking the top part off and that's when they crack up top.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get, you should be able to get it off from the bottom. So once you rip the roof lining off, just loosen off the nuts. And the whole thing should come off in one piece.
Mm. I think I might have to.
Sounds easy.
Because I'm terrified, Rob, and it's going to break. I don't know. It's 100% fail rate. It's going to break. There's no other option. It's going to break. So that's kind of my thing. But would you guys recommend like hoarding? Like not hoarding, but like you know. Getting those hard to find bits. If you go and get to records and saying, "Hey, you know, I'll grab that and have that for a rainy day," because
I think it's
getting harder to get.
If you've got the space,
if you've got the space, then by all means, just you know, I'd say just buy wrecks and then just you know strip them up yourself.
Yeah,
and just you know have your catalog of parts. But if you don't have space, I'd say the most like logical thing to do would be parts that you've broken previously and break again.
Mm-hmm.
Get a couple of those. Something that hasn't broken but is known to break, just get one.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a car that you're going to keep,
just
if it's one that you love and want to keep, then do it.
Yep.
Almost get one. And I mean, if you become good with 3D printing and it's only going to get better.
Yeah, true.
You just got to have one, get the dimensions, go nuts.
I colored some parts the other. Oh, sorry, Rob.
And you can scan the parts now too. You can get the scanners with your 3D printers, and it's scan to scale. Off you go.
I really want to do that because, like, you know, there are some bits and pieces that, like, I know, what's it called, the Renault 16 that it owns, the Sun Visor clips, they're all broken, and you cannot buy them. And yep. I'd love to scan it to scan what's left of it, and then just add like an extra bit of a flick on Blender or something to it, yeah. and then make that, you know, and that'd be amazing.
There's a lot of stuff coming out of Poland and Slovakia and places like that. I coloured some bits the other day for an old SL Benz that had, when I say old, it wasn't a, it was a late, no, it was mid-90s one, so it was a second gen.
R129,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. They got these replacement parts for the little flaps over the vanity mirrors and the sun visors and things like that. They're just all a bit off colour, so all I had to do was scuff them back and colour match them to the vinyl, and they looked great. You know?
And they were 3D printed?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm unobtainium from Benz.
Yeah.
I'm surprised because Benz are pretty good at that. They normally used to supply parts for up to 20 years.
That's right. But some of the little tiny little trim bits and stuff, no.
And if you did that, they wanted drug money for them if they were original too.
That's right.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say with the MX-5s, because the seatbelt kind of falls back behind the seat, some enterprising young individuals have decided to make these little 3D printed devices that they bolt into where seatbelt would belt, and they stick out a little bit just enough so that the seatbelt stays kind of where you'd grab it in a normal car.
Yeah.
And they're quite a cool part. Only problem is they want like $70 a piece for, you know, I understand that.
Give me the STL.
Yeah, I'm like, there's a bit of R&D, but I'm like, let's be real. Like, if it's supposed to be a passion project, either release the, you know, 3D printing, I guess, DSTL files, or just, you know, we'll put them at a more reasonable price. So, like, that's something I'd like to do.
What's a reasonable price, do you reckon, for those?
I'd say about 30 a piece.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's $70 for a whole roll of filament, really.
Yeah.
So, and they don't take a whole roll. They'll take, you know, a beeswiz of them.
Yeah. Out. So you'd be able to make, I'd say, depending on the size of your roll, like probably 10 plus per roll. And if that's the case, like, even at 30, It's also, once you've done the design, it's unattended time. It's not like you have to be there and 3D extrude it yourself. The printer's doing the job. Like, if there were more reasonable price, I'd say they'd sell more. But again, I'm not the one making it, so I'd rather just be the one making it for myself and then be like, all right, screw you guys. Yeah. But at the same time, I'd also, if I was able to come up with something, I'd probably release the STL file for free. If it's just adding a little bit of, you know, kind of comfort to your fellow car owners.
And there's some great sources out there, like and then you can buy parts. Like, I bought a few bits I downloaded the files from my MR2. So
you wouldn't download a car, would you? Remember that?
Yeah. I downloaded the hood prop clip because that one was broken on the MR2. I downloaded that file. Downloaded a couple other little files for that car. Printed them at work, obviously, you know, paid for. And use them, and they're all perfect. And, you know, like someone had just said, yeah, look, you know, this is a need, they all break, let's just make you one. And it's been in the car since. Yeah, so
it is.
So yeah,
modern problems require modern solutions.
Correct. They do. Absolutely. They do.
You've got to get, I suppose, a little, how can I say it? Inventive in, how you keep your cars on the road. I know the Leyland Car Club, being a parts tech for the club for quite a few years, we were the custodians of actually the halo lights, the tail lights, not so much the tail lights, the headlights, the number plate lights. We used to reproduce all of them, injection mold, brand new indicator lights. So we had the dyes. When the factory we got hold of the dyes and started making their own, and they still produce them now.
Wow, that's cool.
Because everyone smashed a left-hand indicator light on them, so everyone wanted just the left-hand side.
Do you make them to order, Rob? You're just like, all right, you need one. Here we go.
We used to make to order, but we used to do a batch of, you know, 400 or 500, and I'd be sitting in my lounge room assembling them and selling them and sending them around Australia.
Oh, right. How many Leyland P76s were breaking left-hand side? I'll take four.
It's a surprisingly large amount.
A lot.
What?
Because they come out clear. You know how they're painted orange and, you know, amber or whatever, and, you know, they're blackened out and silver inside. Well, I made it, you know, the standard ones for myself, but also made clear ones so I can put the orange indicator globe in it. So I've got unique ones as well, which didn't come from factory, you know. That's cool. So I've still got them stored away. So yeah, it was good to keep the cars on the road even back then. And then a lot of cars and a lot of people in the club. We used to have like 200 odd cars in the club in Victoria alone.
Oh wow!
Wow!
You know, and I think they're down to probably now. I'm not sure how big the club is because everything's online. But there'd be at least hundreds of members. But you know, you wouldn't be unknown to get 50, 60 cars, I think, around.
So, long story short, start scanning parts, I think.
Yeah.
Scanning, hoarding.
Yeah. Hoarding. Going doing record runs. I want to do a record run this week and or something because I need to do something car related. Because I missed out with you guys. That will be happening.
Can always come around on the weekend and fit a transmission, mate.
Scotty, you let us know when you need us there. We'll be there.
We'll be there.
I'll bring my 3-ton jack. Cool Pro jack. You know, some extra jack stands.
100%.
Ratchet gun.
Yeah. Gun. That's it.
Fire extinguisher.
That's the most important point, Rob.
It's like the Simpsons episode where he's making like breakfast and everything burns, and then he just does like milk and cereal, and that burns as well.
The whole time you're all under the car working, and I'm just standing there with a fire extinguisher.
You just put the fire extinguisher, and that starts burning.
Rob, are you a pyro? Is that the question? Do we have to ask you that question?
An accidental one.
Accidental pyro. Yeah, I love it.
It's just I've burned a couple of Barbies over the years.
If you haven't burned a Barbie, you never cooked a Barbie.
That's right.
Yeah. I almost burnt the second house down not too long ago.
He's talking, eh?
Yeah, I know. So I was cooking, and me cooking is a scary prospect, but I was cooking and I heated up a pan and I was like, okay, yeah, it should be ready. And I sprayed some oil in there extra virgin oil.
Canola oil.
Yeah. Canola oil, whatever it was. Not 10W40 or anything, but, anyway, I'm like, started sizzling. I'm like the heat wasn't super high, so I picked up the steak to put the steak on, and then the thing just went and just caught fire. I was like, oh, so then I kind of panicked and I put the I just carried it to the sink and put it on water, but I'm like, that doesn't work, because oil and you know the oil and water kind of, and I'm like, oh, like I'm it, gets worse. It was getting worse. It eventually went out, and I'm like, I just panicked. Right? I was like, I was having flashbacks, deja vu all over again. This was supposed to probably.
That's when Matt learned the value of having a fire blanket in the kitchen.
Yes, that is true. This is also I learned the value of having a person that can cook in the house, really appreciated that because my cooking is not, how would you explain it? Not good.
I think salt works too, from memory.
What was that, salt?
Yeah, I think you can put salt on the fire.
The fire was like that. I'm holding the pan.
I think that's just what I've heard.
The best thing to do is just, if you've got a big enough pan, just bring it around and quickly cover it.
Oh, like another pan?
Yeah, just choke it out.
Just grab it and throw it outside.
Yeah.
And then catch your neighbor's house on fire. And then...
Yeah, just lob it next door.
Burn that cladding, you know, that aluminium clad fence that you've got there that's not fire rated.
Yeah,
burn that.
Just start cooking the steak, and be like, oh, it's just flambéed, you know. It's a feature, not a bug, you know. It's like, you know, it's just.
A part of me was like, why did I put it out? Like the chefs at the restaurants, you know, they do it on fire, and
you pay extra for that.
You pay. And I'm like, it would have been all right. And I was like, no, you idiot, that you the pan was too hot. You put cold oil on it, and it just went straight up. And look, it's not my finest moment. I'm not proud of it, but you know, I was. Oh, man.
He did his best.
I did my
and
best.
He failed miserably. The listeners never try.
And I actually damaged the pan. Like the pan got like massive. Like completely stuffed the pan. So I was like, well, I better hide that from other people before they see it.
Steph's like, Where's our pan gone? I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't cook.
You never had that pan. What are you on about?
what pan? What pan?
What pan?
What pan? So yeah, I after having a mini heart attack, then proceeded to cook it slowly.
Years later, it's just going to be like, remember when you lied to me? You said we didn't have the pan. So why don't have the lid, Matt? Why don't have the lid?
Why does it exist? Anyway, that's Dave was just like, I can't believe this guy, and Rob's like, yeah, well, that makes sense because you've done worse. But anyway, that was
enough of a cooking tangent for today.
That was my cooking tangent. General, I think that's a podcast.
Yep.
I better finish it there before I embarrass myself anymore. Scotty Snitch is nothing to snitch on, but Scotty's golf tip of the week.
Yeah, this one is about using your driver.
Mm-hmm.
So some people have it just before you tee off, they have it sitting down on the ground, and some people have it just up a bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're one to have it sitting on the ground and you want to hit it straight, don't have it right in the middle. Have it more just or like a couple mil or more a bit closer to you. Mm. Because in your swinging arc, when you lift the club up, it actually shifts the middle over back to the middle again, and that's where you're going to hit it. So just remember to shift it. Wait a sec. To shift it away from you, so your club, and you push it out a little bit more.
Okay. So you see, yep. so you get the meat of the club. You can.
Yeah, you want to get more of that middle as much as you can.
It's like a cricket bat. Get the middle of the cricket bat. Goes for six.
Exactly right.
Nice. Like it, David Prince. You do a podcast. What?
Ed and I do a bit of a podcast occasionally, it seems, called Auto Retro, and you can find it on Spotify and Apple and all those regular platforms. That's the word, isn't it?
That's the word.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the one.
If you are interested in the electric car space, which
not.
You be? It's hey, have you fancied being stuck out in the bush with no charger or one charger, 50 cars parked up behind it? Well, you're in luck because our man really right knows all about that. If you are genuinely interested in the electric cars, he's definitely very knowledgeable. You can hit him up at carloop.com.au. Also find him on facebook.com/carloopau. He's also on the know with what prices new cars go for. Mm-hmm. So hit him up.
Absolutely. Rob's firefighting.
Sorry, that might well be the attitude why Riz doesn't come along anymore.
I love Riz. He knows it.
No, Riz doesn't come along anymore because his car's broken down. And charging infrastructure is terrible in Australia.
He's trying to get over to the studio, but
every time run on solar, and he relies on the battery from the car to power his house.
It's true. I mean, Rob, you can't talk. You've got a Tesla.
Hey,
so,
if you can siphon power from like your workplace or something,
absolutely,
and charge up your car, bring like 70 odd kilowatt hours to your house. That's a great time.
Yeah,
and you get one of those plans where they pay you 11 cents a kilowatt hour to sell. Oh, great time.
Oh.
All of us told today, you can actually sign up for the power company now. So from between 11 o'clock at night and 4 or 5 in the morning,
it's free.
Charge it all to your power.
And I think between 12 p.m. and 3 or something, they actually pay you.
No, really?
Per kilowatt hour.
Hmm.
Oh, okay.
Because that's, I think, when there's maximal solar production, and then, they pay you during those periods. I think that's if you can, like, work out your charging and stuff, and you've got battery packs as well in the household. You can actually make it a pretty good system.
Mm.
It's just it generally requires you to already have that stuff in place.
In place, yeah.
Yeah.
Rob's firefighting, paint, restoring, a laser fixing. What else have you been doing? Electricals.
Hoists.
Rob's being a good mate. Just
any man maintenance. Work. Mowing.
Yeah. You're taking over gyms. I'd prefer Rob's anyway. Mm.
Yeah. Except I do like Jim's lobbying.
Jim's drifting. Jim's going to send it. Yeah, we have to. Like, as I said, I've started it. I was going to start just putting all different colors and all different different things that you do. So, to our listeners, if you've got any ideas on what Rob should do, we can. I'll make a sticker for it. Oh,
I couldn't imagine what Rob can do.
Can do anything.
Rob's skydiving.
Rob's council disputes.
Council disputes. Rob's neighbor punch-ons. Rob's
very busy by the sound of it.
He's a busy man. He's a very busy.
He's a busy man, but he makes time for us. We appreciate it.
He does. We do love you, Rob.
Oh, thank you.
Like it to our Facebook page, it's Car Talk TRQ. With Manny J, if you missed any of previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasting apps. So never forget the subscribe, rate, and review to us there. Check out our merch on our Teespring store. Go to teespring.com, Topic Car Talk store. Support us there, or support us by becoming a patron to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Car Talk Podcast. We are also on
YouTube, so give us a like and subscribe. All of our previous podcasts are being slowly uploaded to YouTube, and future video content incoming.
100%. We've got big plans for by the end of the year, I think. Gentlemen, honor as always. And Rob, I want to leave you with this. If you had one thing that you wanted to do in your life, what would it be?
Don't think twice about doing something, do it.
Rob's doing it. Rob's doing it. I think that's the stick. That's the first. That's the second. Rob's doing it. Just a picture of him like this with a thumbs up.
Rob's doing it.
Rob's doing it.
Just do it.
Just do it. Rob's Nike commercials.
Rob's getting it done.
Rob's getting it done.
Get it done.
See you next time, guys. Take it easy.
Thank you.
Yeah.